You're all ready.
Hey, let's call the June Finance Meeting to order. Approval of the minutes for May.
Fitzpatrick, so moved.
I'm also second.
Thank you. Any discussion or correction? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Carries. Department requests, Public Works.
Can you hear me, Gary?
Yep. Good morning, Vince.
Morning, Gary. This is for a transfer from our snow plowing accounts from salt into the sand account. Our sand suppliers have been running out of sand before the winter ends. To remedy this, Doug Rapley and Andy Morse put together a new bid for the suppliers to put up a pile of sand this summer that will last the entire winter. The portion of that pile to be used January to March of 2021 normally would come out of the 2021 budget. So we are requesting this transfer so we can pay for the sand in September of this year.
It's Gary Roush. I'll make the motion.
Bob Nichols, second.
Vince, only question I have is, are we going to have enough money to purchase the early salt purchase?
When it comes time for that, we may have, it may be tight to pay for that salt, so I may have to find some money elsewhere in our existing budget.
Okay. That's what we had to do last year, I think.
Yes, we did. We did.
I don't understand that. The budget is an annual number that we set for the whole year. It's not timed. So we don't use revenues during the year in highway to pay for expenses.
Scott, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Would you say that again?
Well, he said if we buy this salt, or if we buy this sand, are we going to have enough money to pay for salt? I mean, you budgeted for sand and salt in the annual budget, right?
Yes.
So it's not a timing issue because you have the.
Okay. Scott, what happened here when we when we put up this sand bid to make an entire winter's supply.
So it includes the first quarter of 2021.
Right. So
okay.
We would.
That makes sense.
We're paying for essentially all of 2020 and the first quarter of 2021.
Okay. That makes sense. It confused me when he said, are you going to have enough money when it comes time to buy salt to pay for it? And I'm thinking, wait, we don't use revenues throughout the year. It's a budgeted amount. But as long as we're prepaying for next year's supply, then that makes sense.
Okay, but Gary was right in questioning the salt, because when it comes time to make sure the bins are filled with salt to the end of this year, because we're drawing from the salt account to pay for this sand, we may need to find some money in another part of the budget for that salt. I don't think it'll be a problem, but it's something that I'll have to address in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll back to sleep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Anything else, Vince?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, great. I usually have problems with that. I'm glad. The first two items are CARES Act funding for public transportation. It's in two different contracts, so there's two separate resolutions, one for each contract. One is for mobility management services, and the second is for the actual bus operations to address impacts for public transportation.
Motions.
There's two, yes, because of two separate contracts.
Correct. Okay, can I have the first motion for number one?
I'm Alter, make a motion for number one.
Gary Roush, second.
Thank you. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Gary Roush, make a motion for the second one.
All right, resolution for number two.
Fitzpatrick, second.
Okay, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries. Hey, Amy, we're on number three.
Okay, so this is our usual 5311 federal operating assistance funds. This contract is for our 2018 funds, which we have not been paid yet, and our 2019 funds, which we have not been paid yet. This is about the normal timing for last year's funds to come in. Obviously, the 2018 funds are well behind, but this will reimburse us for those expenses.
Motion, please.
Bob Nichols, I'll make it.
Gary Roush, second.
Thank you. Discussion?
I have a question. John Walter.
Oh, sorry.
I'm just wondering why this is, there's such a timing delay in receiving these funds.
We submit our annual report. They have us submit it in March of each year for the previous year, and then they send us the money. The 2018 funds, we submitted the annual report. There were some changes that they needed us to make. We made them. Then they said, oh, now we have to put this, for whatever reason at New York State DOT, they had to put that money in another contract. So they waited for this contract. I couldn't really tell you why, but we provided what we needed to provide to them. And then they said we had to wait for another contract. So I don't know.
We're up the money on this contract, and then we wait to be reimbursed.
Yeah, it is a reimbursement program. And in
about Amy.
Each year it's about $200,000 each year.
Hey, thank you.
Any other questions for Amy?
Amy, is it true that the buses aren't charging the tolls to get on and ride?
That is correct. First Transit has suspended fares, and that's part of the CARES Act reimbursement for them. They have suspended fares to avoid people touching the fare box, and also like standing, because the fare box right next to the driver, standing near the fare box, you know, messing with change and money. So they have suspended fares. I am not sure at what point they're going to reinstate them. But for right now, they are just trying to avoid contact at the fare box.
And they, each company that operates the transit system, they keep those funds. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's part of their matching funds and things that help us with the other federal and state funding. Yeah, that goes back into their revenue, and it's reported to DOT as part of the funding formula.
So if it's part of the match and they're not collecting it right now, will that pose some problems in the future?
I think that's being addressed through the CARES Act, because they're recognizing that fares aren't being collected by a lot of systems. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure that's addressed through the CARES Act funding.
All right.
Well, Amy, how many dollars are we talking about?
In a year, for, so they, it's a dollar, the fare is a dollar. In a year at the fare box, they collect about, on first transit, about $56,000.
Yeah, so there was a question last week about this, who in the county made the decision to not charge fares. So after we asked, you know, Jack said, no, it wasn't our decision. It was based, all we do is we receive money and pass it through to these agencies that are actually the operators. They made the decision based on the CARES Act.
Correct. And they told me of the decision, and I reminded them that there would be no money coming from us if they gave up that revenue, and they were aware of that.
Thank you, Amy.
Any other questions for Amy? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. Anything else, Amy?
I think that was it for me today. Thanks.
Are you doing okay?
Yes, I'm doing very well. Thank you. Good. I hope you all are as well.
Yep. Thank you. Good morning, Tammy, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning. Were there any questions on the two regular monthly reports, budget transfers and purchase orders?
Thank you for the explanation at the bottom.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
Amy, I have a question.
Sure.
On the timber revenues, $11,568.
Is that a transfer?
This is a budget transfer.
Okay, yep.
So I'm assuming that these contracted expenses are for the actual logging?
No, that is for the person who goes in and assesses which.
That's the truth.
Yep. I don't know if they're actually marking. Vince, are you still on? I'm not sure if they're actually marking them or if they're just you know, reporting that this plot is worth doing versus this plot is not. That would be a DPW question for sure.
I think they're going in and marking them and getting them ready to harvest. I believe that's what the contract called for.
Yeah, I know they were going into several different parcels, but I'm not sure exactly what they were doing, you know, if they were just assessing the feasibility or if they were marking trees, if it was feasible. Yeah, no, that would be a DPW question for sure.
It's a combination of marking the trees and working on the overall plan of which plot gets harvested which year. It's within that contract with the forest manager that we hired. And we'll pay for it out of the logging revenue.
Thanks, Vince.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions on the report? Budget transfer adjustments, any questions on that?
That one is actually gonna be another note on the next month's transfer report, because there will be some additional county dollars. We didn't, this has never, the Bulletproof Vest grants have never been set up as grants, so we haven't had the, you know, the detailed accounting that we obviously need. So this will get those set up, as well as helping those roll every year at the end of the year. So there will be about a $25,000, you know, out of balance when you get the June report for transfers, because this is actually, you know, the county cost associated with the grant. Just wanted to point that out.
Yep, appreciate it. Okay, so where are we?
So yeah, we just need the approval on that budget transfer for the Bulletproof Vest.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? carries. That's, yeah, that's a good idea. That's, get that in there.
We'll get it right next year. And then Pat's been talking with the school about, you know, possibly having the auction in the fall. Any information about that?
It's pretty much a given that we won't have an auction on July 10th, as you had authorized back in March, on March 23rd this year. You know, the schools all over are still closed to the public and even the students. So we'd probably need some action canceling that legislative resolution. And then I did talk to the school superintendent here yesterday a couple different times, and he suggested that the school isn't sure if in the fall is going to let any outside groups use the facilities. But he did say if they do that, at the present time, they had two Saturdays in September open, and I asked him to check on the possibility of October too. I haven't heard back from him on that yet, but that would, you know, that would be a procedural thing. We'd have to, you know, to get our people in there. If they were to allow us to use it, the other possibility is a venue, like a banquet facility or something like that, which would certainly, that would run into some money. I don't know what we would, we haven't even bothered to check that out yet, but a couple of likely places would be the Radisson in Corning, which could accommodate 400 people. I'm sure there'd be some pretty stiff cleaning fees and stuff like that, that, you know, sanitation fees, setup and tear down fees. The other possibility is to hold an online auction. I talked to Perung, who has the RFP for this year, and he's able to allow online bidding. I looked at the bidding site that he uses for online bids. It'd be somewhat different than what we currently do, where we sell everything online, or we sell everything in person. There are other tax auctions held on that site there, but there are other venues available, but Perung's got the RFP this year.
Is there any way we could hold it at the fairgrounds with a big tent or anything?
I haven't asked, but we could do that. The thing is, of course, they would certainly have enough parking there. I don't know when the fair is going to be held this year, but it certainly wouldn't be. That's usually in August. I don't know if they're going to have that or not. I know that some of the fair promoters, the people that do the rides and the shows, they're canceled already for the year. I don't know if that's with respect to Bath or not, but I can make an inquiry of that. I suppose the grandstand at the fair might be available. It'd be covered. I don't know how we project on the screen, though, in the daylight. I don't know how we could do that. But it would certainly, I can check into that.
Just an idea.
No, it's a good idea. I hadn't thought of it. I was thinking of inside places because of the audiovisual needs, so that we can't ever make sure that everybody knows exactly what they're buying, because last year we had somebody buy a place down in Addison that they thought they were buying something else.
Well, you could do is have it at night. That way there should not be a projection issue.
That's true. I'll have to check with IT to see if they got projecting equipment and a screen, but something, we ought to be able to make that work somehow.
You could also just print off 200 books and hand everybody a book when they come, they follow along.
Yes.
I mean, just like with the fairgrounds, is there any place on the county farm where we could set up a tent? I mean, Perung has more outside auctions than inside auctions, and most people that go to auctions are used to being outside.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Great.
The thing we've got to do is have enough room to maintain the 6-foot circle around people. And I'm not sure if we could get a tent big enough. We usually get a couple hundred 300 people at the auction, and a lot of them are spectators, but you need the space to do that. That's why we like this high school at Bath. That accommodates 600 people at least on the first floor. The balconies, they don't, you know, they don't allow anybody in a balcony up there for obvious reasons.
Is this 6-foot diameter going to be a permanent requirement for life?
I don't know. I'd have to ask the public health people on that. It looks like we're stuck with it for a while until we get out of these various phases.
Yeah, I'm kind of like
I can't see that being lifted until they see if there's been if there's an uptick in the number of positive cases in the fall.
Can't they opt to wear a mask instead if you cannot maintain the 6 feet?
Yeah, potentially, Kelly. I mean, that's sort of what it is now. I think the issue just is we don't know what it looks like, you know, in September at this point to make a definitive, you know, call. You know, just I think we just plan on the biggest practical space possible, and however we have to do it, we do it.
I'm really thinking October would be better. You might have, you know, if at the fairgrounds, we might have the possibility of rain, but at least they're sheltered there. But I wouldn't think any later than October 15th, because then you get the possibility of an early snow.
Pat, aren't there some issues in getting the auction together simply because the courts are still closed?
Well, we don't even have title yet. The court is not receiving applications for default judgment, and that's how we acquire title. So once we submit an application, it takes a couple of weeks to get the law department does the application, but it takes a couple of weeks to get that together and checked and submitted to the court. And of course, we've got a new judge handling it this year. So I'm not sure how fast they're going to go through that and send it back to us. It could be a couple of weeks. It could be a month. And then there's really a 30-day cooling down period where somebody has an opportunity to challenge it. Just the section with respect to their parcel, or they could seek to vacate the whole thing. So we really need about 60 days between the time we submit the application for default judgment and the sale. Wouldn't you say, Jen?
That's about 60 days should cover it. It's just we have no direction from the court as to when default judgments are going to open. So I think it's going to be one of the last things, probably like landlord-tenant matters, because it's dealing with inability to pay and losing your job and those sorts of things. So that's why we're thinking October, because landlord-tenant's August. And the default goes with that. 60 days puts us in early October.
Right. But Rausch, I make a motion that we cancel the July auction.
Fitzpatrick, second.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay, Jen.
Pat, have you put together a listing of those potential properties that'll be up for sale at this point?
Yes. I mean, we have the ones that are where notice has been given and hardships approved, of which we've got some for executive session today, but. It's a full list of everything. That doesn't mean that they're going to be in the auction.
Is that list available at this point?
It's a deed list. It's
not on website.
I'm not sure what you want to know about it. It just had the former owner's name. The deed information, the town, the tax map number. It's the Schedule A that we use to submit with the application for default judgment.
But you haven't put together a booklet or anything like that at this point.
Oh, no. We won't do that until we receive title.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Jeff Horton. One thing also, if we were to use the farm or the county fairgrounds, we wouldn't have to do it on a Saturday. We could do it on a weekday as normal. We wouldn't have to ask our staff to work Saturday.
Yes, that's right.
This is Carol Ferratella. I just have one other thought. The Kmart building has, I believe, it's been vacated, correct?
Yes.
I don't know if the hardware is still there, but it seems like that building would facilitate 400 people.
I looked through the door. There isn't very much left in there. I did broach that in a discussion with Tammy. It's possible we would, you know, we'd have the staging issues of getting chairs in there and getting them from somewhere and getting them in there. Plus, of course, the landlord would want something for rent, and then there'd be the sanitation issues, you know, sanitizing. But there's certainly ample parking there.
The only issue with the Radisson is parking would be a nightmare.
Oh, it's tight down there, yes.
That was just my thought. Thank you.
No, it's a good thought.
So this is Tammy. So I think the point of the 60 days is that once we're able to submit the application, we would have that amount of time to actually set the date and, you know, and determine a final location. So I think we'll have, you know, hopefully 60 days is long enough to be able to pull all that off once we know when the court's going to entertain our application.
Yeah, right. Call for the vote on the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So we resend the date and look for a new one.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Perfect.
What else we got?
Well, we do have a need for an executive session for the more hardships trickling in.
Right.
Jack, do you have anything?
Nothing for me. Nope.
Scott, anything?
I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, if we need a motion for executive session.
Gary Roush, make the motion.
Thank you.
Bob Nichols, yeah. Second.
Thanks, Bob. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Now, there's a separate dial-in number, isn't there?
Yes.
Okay.